And we switch seats at 28 minutes before 9 o'clock. Patrick Doyle is in the building. Yes. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
It's here.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood, and yet, you know, outside it may belie what's going on inside of people, and that's why you talk to people and say, what's your problem during this beautiful sunny day, and try to figure it all out.
Yes.
All right. What is the dilemma you want to focus on today?
Well, you know, as a counselor, I do a lot of marriage counseling. And one of the things I hear a lot from people is about the idea of men being a covering. And I think that's very what does that mean?
What does it mean, Patrick? What does it mean?
What does it mean? I think it's kind of convoluted
at
times.
It's kind of a biblical concept, but
yes,
what does
it
mean?
Well, I believe it means something that's impossible to do.
Okay. Well, now that we know that...
So all the guys can...
You sound like a scientist. We don't know what we're looking at, but we know what it's not.
Yeah. All the guys can take a big sigh of relief. Actually, so here's the deal. I believe that in Ephesians, the Bible says that men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And if you read in the Message, the way Eugene Peterson translates it, he says men are to love their wives not by domineering, but by cherishing. Now, I can tell you as a human being, my instinct is not to cherish another person. My instinct is to get what I want.
Mm, yeah.
Do it my way. So I believe when you hear the scripture say we're to cherish our wives, I don't think that's possible for a man to do in and of himself. If the man himself doesn't have an intimacy or a relationship with Christ, it isn't possible to effectively, underscore, embolden, highlight, effectively cherish his wife. Now, look, I've never met a woman who was effectively cherished by her husband who had a beef with him, even with all his problems. If a woman feels cherished, covered, nurtured, she will automatically respond. And so this is what I see a lot of times in relationships is that men are doing a lot of things right. Like, you know, they go to work and they don't you know, hurt their wives. They don't yell at them. They go to church on Sundays and all these things that they're told they're supposed to do. The problem is they have no spiritual relationship with their wives. They know, you know, what their favorite color is. They buy them flowers, but it's sort of distant, if you know what I mean. It's not spiritually intimate. It might be intimate about what the kids are doing or where we're going to go on vacation or, you know, what a blah, blah, blah. But there's not a connection that is of value on a spiritual level. And so I've seen a lot of guys sit in my office sort of scratching their heads going, I don't know why my wife just doesn't seem to respond. And this is what I believe is the reason why. It's because even if you do a lot of the right things, that's the core of what God said marriage was, is fellowship around him. The core of marriage is not your compatibility or your financial security or how you're going to co-parent your children or whatever.
But see, that's what all the ads say on TV. Compatibility is used a lot as
it's
a
true.
Watchword.
It's true. And it's a big trap because the truth is you can be compatible with somebody and have zero intimacy.
Well, I think even Christian counseling, you know, a pastor's counseling doesn't hit into the area you're talking about a whole lot.
Right.
Not that I'm an expert on it, but I think that, you know, a lot of the other issues are there, but I don't think that is. So I don't know that people are really geared to say, am I spiritually fulfilling my spouse? So
right.
what does that even mean?
Careful on that because it's not the man's job to fulfill his wife, and that's another myth. A man is not capable of that. That's God's job. But what God did was he made me an appointed vessel to cover and nurture and be the vessel that he uses to fill Catherine, my wife. Okay?
All right. So what's your role then?
The first thing I have to do is have my own relationship with God. Look, one of the most important things a man can have in his life is conviction. If God convicts you, your life will go much better because here's the truth of it. If you think you know the right thing to do, you think you have enough wisdom to navigate this life on your own, you are a fool, biblically speaking. Mm-hmm. The truth is, apart from God's influence, apart from God's wisdom, apart from Him intervening, you don't know what to do. And that's another myth that men get shoved down their throat, is that you have to know. Well, that's a lot of pressure, dude. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm supposed to understand another human's emotions and their spiritual intimacy. I can't understand that. Mm-hmm. If God doesn't help me, I can't. And so that's why I said before, God gave us as men a job we can't do on our own. He said, think about it. Christ came to love the church. Now, what did he get in his bride? What kind of woman was that Christ got in us? Stiff-necked, rebellious, unloving, disrespectful, hard-hearted, distant. That's mm-hmm. what Christ got. But did that stop him?
No.
No. And so he had the power to domineer us, did he not? Doesn't God have the power to domineer? But no. What is the whole calling card of the gospel? The calling card of the gospel is he loves you. Instead of domineering us, which he could have done, he chose to cherish us. And that's why we live for him, is because of how he cherishes us. We don't do it out of fear or anxiety. And similarly, what he's saying is, this is the picture I have for marriage. The man will be as if it were a little, and I underscore and embolden little, Christ, and he will cover his wife. He will nurture and cherish her as I have the church. Now, if you think you can do that on your own, you are losing your mind. It's not possible for a man to do that. So again, it gets back to men. Where is your relationship with God at? That's the first question you got to ask, not how many flowers have you bought, or she's not responding, or blah, 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 blah. If your wife, I guarantee this, 99% of the women that I've dealt with in marriages with men, if the man was convicted, they would instantly turn. It's true. I've worked with people who have been horrifically abused by their spouse, by their parents, and every one of them says the same thing. If they repented, I would be right there for them. Mm. And so repentance becomes a key component to us being spiritually effective in our families. And it's not just your wife, fellas. It's your kids. You need to model for your kids how to repent. Like who doesn't have the need to repent? Have you ever met anybody that doesn't have the need to repent? Have you ever met anybody who never does anything wrong? I mean, I know I've met people who think they haven't. Mm. But the truth is, everybody has a need for repentance.
Now, you know, you may be talking to a lot of women who say, you're right on. My husband, I wish you were more that way.
Right.
But I'm
sorry,
looking
guys.
At that saying, is there, we're looking at it from that direction. Is there a solution for the wife? What can she do?
Well, two things I think she can do. One is be more honest, which is I don't feel like we have anything spiritually. I don't see it happening. I see you going through the motions, but I don't see anything genuine.
Well, you mean almost a confrontation with a husband? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. The truth is necessary. I mean, every time in my life that somebody's confronted me with the truth, I didn't like it initially, but it always ends up working its way into me, because the truth is I want to live in the truth. I say that, and then when it happens, I don't. And then later I do, and then I don't. And we all go through that. So – but if you don't ever bring the truth up, how do you expect for it to get there? You have to at least talk about it. Now, if you're in a situation, women, where you feel like it would be dangerous to do so, I would recommend you not do it, okay? And you get some support, get some people around you, then maybe do it. But don't do it if you think it's going to create physical harm or emotional harm. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Come and talk to somebody who can help you navigate that and then do it. But you have to weigh that. The other thing is I would say this. You need to pray for your husband's conviction. Pray that God would break his heart into a million pieces. And that's not a mean prayer. That's if you pray that for anybody, you really love them. Because look, if anybody knows me and they pray that, I'm thankful. Because look, humility, brokenness is the pinnacle of spirituality. According to God, dependence on him is the pinnacle of spirituality. What we hear in church a lot of times, what we hear from society, as you brought it before, Steve, is that the pinnacle of spirituality is togetherness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. Togetherness is not the pinnacle of spirituality. That's the pinnacle of religion. The pinnacle of religion is togetherness. The pinnacle of intimacy with God is brokenness. And then it's his work that makes you whole. So, guys, look, this is the principle I'm talking about. If you think you can do it, you're going to fail.
But the one entry point is they have to have the willingness to be open to that change, mm-hmm. don't they?
Right, right.
Because, well, like you say, it's pretty unnatural for us to move in that direction, isn't it?
It is, totally unnatural. And that's part of what I'm trying to get at is that we don't get a lot of training in that way. We get a lot of training in the to-dos.
Yeah, how to, quick, easy steps.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. The five easy steps to good marital communication. But here's the deal. Without a spiritual level trust, it's going to be very difficult for these things to move forward. And this is where I see a lot of marriages just stall out. There's a lot of energy going into the marriage, you know, but it's sort of off target. It's not on a spiritual level. So many times, and this is going to sound kind of you know, maybe offbeat a little bit, but, you know, that's how I am. One of the things I suggest to men is that they pray and fast and ask God to reveal to them where they're wrong. Do whatever you need to do. If your business is going down the tubes, I know a lot of guys that would do anything. I mean, they would go to any lengths to save that business. Mm-hmm. Which is more important, your business or your marriage? And here's another thing that culture just keeps pounding away at, is that there's all kinds of competition for what's really important. Relationships are the most important thing you have on earth. Look, when you're laying in that deathbed, at the end of your life, if you're lucky to lay there and, you know, people are
in half time.
Yeah, half time. What's going to be important to you, I hope, is not what job you did or how much money you have, or where you're at in society, or where you're at in the hospital, you know, what hospital you're in. I hope what's important to you are the people standing around that bed and the relationships that you have with them. It wasn't long ago, a few months ago, a couple months ago, my Catherine's stepmother died, and we went back to Georgia for the funeral and such. And I wasn't there at the hospital, but she was in ICU for almost 3 weeks. Mm. And Catherine said that the amount of food and people that were at the hospital every day, people coming to make sure that her dad was okay and all this, she said it was overwhelming how many people were there to help. And then when we went to the funeral, there were over 700 people at the funeral. Now, why would that happen? That's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. People have relationships that are meaningful, and they aren't the trouble activates this care, right? How important is that for that to be present, particularly in your marriage? And I'm telling you guys, I know there's guys out there listening. They're like, you know, I understand what he's saying, but I have a hard time with the motive.
Yeah, just want to let you know that Patrick Doyle with Veritas Counseling is with us. If you've got a question or maybe a comment, you've been hearing him so far about this whole issue. We started off with a theme of what it means for men to be a covering for their wives. And let us know what's on your mind. 776-5368. We've got about 13 minutes or so. 776-5368 with Patrick Doyle.
So a lot of guys say that, you know, I understand what you're saying, Pat, but, you know, if I was really honest, I don't really have much of a motive. I mean, I do it because I know I'm supposed to, but in my heart, I'm just kind of going through the motions. I don't really want to do it. And I had the privilege of having a conversation with a guy this weekend, and he basically said to me, he says, you know, I really want to do the right thing by my wife. And she's telling me very clearly that I'm not. And he says, but, you know, I can't get the motive up. I know I'm supposed to, but I don't really want to. I don't want to do the sacrifice necessary. I don't want to, you know, stop doing what I'm doing to go there.
Mm.
And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was that that comes from God. I can't muster up love. And if you think you can do that, guys, by, you know, you remember the saying, fake it till you make it? You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not very effective.
Mm-mm.
Now, if you're talking about recovery, Okay, I can understand it. If you're talking about, I mean, that's where that originated. That thing originated, I believe, in AA, fake it till you make it.
Which
which is that, you know, if you're struggling with a substance, just don't use until you really have recovery, which that totally makes sense. But if you apply it to a relationship, like with your wife, because the more you fake it, the more distant she becomes. Because women are very sensitive to the genuineness of your motive. And this is why a lot of times you do things and they don't really respond the way you want. And it's because they're seeing through the fact that you're just sort of doing the rote, you know, list of things to do to make your wife happy. And it really doesn't have anything to do with her. You're not really connected to her. You're just doing it because you think it's going to unlock her being happier, being willing to, you know, do whatever you want her to do. And that's not what God was talking about when he said men are to be a covering. Our wives are to feel safe and nurtured under our covering. Now, and that's primarily on an emotional / spiritual level. It's not the physical level, primarily. So if you don't have an intimacy with Christ yourself, you're going to be short on motive, and you're going to be short on staying power, both.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm telling you is you can go get a book and read about how to do this and how to do that and how to, you know, and the how-tos. But what good is an intention if you can't sustain it?
Yeah, it's true.
It's no good. And I've talked to a lot of guys who are completely frustrated with the to-do list because they've done it. I've talked to a lot of guys who have really worked hard at doing the right things. And then they get to the end and it's like they get nothing. It's like it didn't work. Wow. And they're really frustrated. And then they get resentful towards their wife because, you know, I did all this stuff and you didn't respond. And really, that's shooting at the wrong target. If you're emotionally present and spiritually present, your wife will instantly respond in some fashion. I guarantee it. Because remember, this is the principle that I operate under, is that God made men to be the initiators, okay? And he made women to be the responders, okay? Now, men and women are not created unequally. In other words, men are not above women. And women, you know, in today's society are not above men. They're actually the same. They're equal, but with very different roles, okay? The man's role is to initiate. The woman's role is to respond. What are you initiating? So if you're initiating distance and work and intensity and isolation, what do you think she's going to respond with?
Yeah, right. Cause and effect
kind
of a thing.
But if you're initiating love, fellowship, kindness, generosity, and again, not in totality, not in perfection. I'm not talking about that because we're all human. We all struggle. We all make mistakes. But if you, as a sort of a 51% majority, are initiating things that are spiritually good, then I guarantee your wife will respond. God made them that way, and I've seen it time and time and time again where men make that shift and they start initiating in that way and women just automatically open up. Now, and I'm going to tell you a secret, guys that are married, to a healthy intimacy in your life with your wife. If you want to have a lot of intimacy on a physical level, if your wife feels covered and nurtured, there won't be an issue there.
Mm.
And one of the things that reason women resist that is because they feel unsafe emotionally and they feel unsafe spiritually. And they're not telling you that, and you may not be getting that. But I'm telling you, if they do feel safe, that's not an issue. In fact, you might need to get a stick to protect yourself because they're going to really be interested in that. And that's part of how they respond. That's one of the responses. So when you're demanding something from them, you're already on the wrong track because God made them to be responders. Here's the other thing that I see happen a lot. And since men are made to be the initiators and women are made to be the responders, what I see happening a lot is men try certain things. They try to do the right thing. They try to initiate, and it doesn't go over well, or it doesn't happen right or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so men sort of over time just sort of stop initiating.
Sure.
They just sort of get tired and burned out.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what happens, because women are nurturers, they're not going to let anything fall through the cracks. And so they kind of step up. And now they're the ones initiating everything. So what you have is a sort of a woman now kind of covering a man. And so the woman's up on sort of over the top saying, you know, is he ever going to take initiative? Is he ever going to get involved? If I have to do everything, I have to think about everything. He never thinks about anything. I have to take care of everything.
And I've heard those stereotypical arguments. I mean, they're expected. Well, I did it because he's not.
Exactly.
And I wish he would. And he says, well, how can I when you are doing
exactly.
this?
And so you got a man sort of underneath going, control freak, nothing ever good enough, can ever, and she never, and so that's the recipe for disaster. That's the recipe for divorce. Even if you don't get separated, it's a recipe for that. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that has to happen is a man has to start initiating again. Now, if a woman is in your life who has taken over everything because you've stopped initiating, don't expect her to say, okay. You can expect a fight. But I'm telling you guys, if you show some consistency, she's going to start letting go really quickly over time. Because women do not want to be in that position. And to be honest with you, one of the reasons why women are so stressed out in our culture today is because they got way too much on their plate. God did not design women to be in charge of everything. He designed them to be nurtured and covered and respond. And a woman in a responding position is amazingly productive. Okay? A woman who's having to take care of everything is stressed out and overwhelmed and not as productive. They'll get it done, but it's not because, they're doing it out of the right motive. They're doing it out of survival. And so, guys, we got to start covering. And I really don't want to hear any of these excuses like, well, you don't understand. You know, no, you don't understand. God made you in the position to be the leader, not your wife. So stop dinking around, get around some other men who have some maturity, get your stuff out on the table, get your guts on the floor, and let's get this work done. Because I'm telling you what, if men would start to lead their families, this country would change. We have entire organizations in our community who are set up to mentor children. Why? Because they don't have any fathers. Mm-hmm. Where are the dads? Yeah. Now, there are some of you out there that I'm going to commend because I know you're doing it. You're doing what you need to do. You're taking care of business. You're loving your wife. You're loving your kids. You're doing it. Praise God and thank you. But there's a whole bunch of you that aren't. And you know who you are. And I'm telling you, I love you. And I want you to get out of that rut. And I want you to start taking care of your family. Because the person who will feel the best about that is you. Because every man knows deep in his soul, it's his responsibility. I believe God put that in them. And so I want you to get the help that you need to start making some of those things right. But it's going to start first with you as a man confessing. Who do you know that you could go to and confess? Somebody you know won't gossip about you? Mm. Somebody you know won't stab you in the back? Somebody you know won't use that information against you later? Somebody who won't tell your boss or tell your wife or tell your kids or whatever? Do you have somebody in your life who's that safe? If not, unfortunately, you might have to pay for it. You know, come to a counseling session or two. I would much prefer you have somebody in your life who's your friend that can do it. But if you don't have that, and you know, the truth is there's a lot of guys who just don't. They don't have that. It's not possible for them to go there. If you do, start the process by dealing with your own spiritual issues, by dealing with your own spiritual life. That's where you start to repair your marriage. You don't start repairing your message by getting your wife to change. You start repairing your marriage by being a good man under the care of God. When I say good, I mean in response to God. I don't mean you do things right. I mean that you're a guy who has humility. You're a guy who has the ability to confess. This is the difference between a good marriage and a marriage of struggles. I'm telling you, I've seen it 1,000 times. I've seen it once. So I'm begging you guys. We have responsibility, and I'm talking to myself too. I have to repent on a regular basis, and you know, probably today sometime I'm going to have to repent for things that I've done. I mean, none of us are exempt, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We all have things we need to deal with. The problem is if we don't deal with it, and here's what happens. And I use this analogy all the time, and people tell me that it sticks with them, so I'm going to keep using it. You've been to Elmer's,
yeah,
or your favorite breakfast place, and you go in there and you see that 70, 80, 90-year-old couple, and they've been married since the dawn of time, and they don't even look at each other. They don't say a word. They sit in silence. One maybe reads the paper. One stares off into space. But they've been together, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and they don't like each other.
Hmm.
This is not the model that God was talking about when he said, I'm going to make a picture of how I love you in marriage. He's not in heaven clapping his hands going, oh, gee, thanks for staying together.
Mm.
He's like, that's not exactly the picture I was talking about.
Yeah.
So if you don't deal with things, that's how you get to that couple. I'm guaranteeing you that couple in Elmer's didn't start off at the altar saying, here's to being miserable. Here's to really being old and cranky.
Yeah.
No, they started off at the altar with absolute, you know, joy and thrill to be with that person. How did it get from that point to where I don't even look at you? It got there because they didn't deal with nothing. They kept sweeping it under the rug. There was no leadership. And men, that is our job. 90% of the time when that happens, except for odd cases, I put the responsibility on men to be leaders. If that's where you lead the person to, then you have to take responsibility for that. And I'm telling you guys, as a guy who was brought up in a family where talking about how I felt or, you know, being honest about where I was at was, you know, something could get me killed.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
I didn't learn this from my family. This is something God taught me. So I don't have any doubt that if you're in that position that he can't change you, because I'm living proof he can. The only thing I'm doing is I'm encouraging you guys, the first step is for you to have an intimacy with God. And I'm telling you, the only person that's going to benefit initially from that is you. And then that'll trickle through the rest of your family. So if you're struggling with what it is to be a man, what it is to love your wife and be a father, the first step is to go to God, not to fix your wife or kids. You take care of you, and then God, through you as a vessel, will bless your family. And that's how he set it up. So don't be discouraged. Please don't give up. Keep going. And man, go to God and confess and be soft and be humble. Now with him, it might be the only place. There might not be anybody else you can do that with initially. But at a bare minimum, start with him. And I guarantee your life will get easier, not your circumstances, but your life will become easier because you won't be carrying the weight of the world.
All right. Patrick Doyle with Veritas Counseling. How can people get in touch with you?
They can call me at 622-6018, or they can visit the website Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, counseling.com.
Okay. Of course, we've got today's recording as well. If you would like that, you just contact.